This is Drunk
Jester Media.
Hail, adventurers. I am metaphorically sitting down at a long wooden table, having a few imaginary tankards with some voices you know and love, the cast of season one of Dragon's Rest. Mine is a voice you haven't heard before. My name is Lana Mayer. I am a friend and a fan of the podcast, and I'm so happy to be here joining the stars of Dragon's Rest with a special treat for my fellow listeners, a cast Q&A. We'll learn a little bit more about the show and the people who made it, but first things first, let's part the curtain and have the fearless companions introduce themselves.
Hi, I'm Darcy Thompson. I am the creator and voice of Billy Barlow.
Hi, I am Caroline Portant. I am the voice of Shax.
Hello, everybody. I am Anthony Abdo. I'm the voice of Gilroy.
Is that
That's you next? I knew it was going to happen. I was just waiting.
Nolan.
In very Nolan-like fashion. Hi, my name is Olivia Bernabe. I do play Nolan. I use they, she pronouns.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if we're supposed to say that.
I'm Matthew Maiolo, and I'm the voice of Magnus.
I'm Richard Thompson, and I am the narrator.
Well, first of all, congratulations to all of you on a season one well done. And I really can't help myself. It's a show about a tavern, so I have to start by asking, what's your go-to drink order? And would your character approve?
Is this a weird time to say that I don't drink?
Oh, fair.
Wow.
Do you think Magnus would approve?
No. Water.
No, I imbibe water. I go stand out in the rain like a plant. No, I mean, like, I pretty much never. I don't. Well, you know, Magnus does hate Gilroy for being a drunk, or at least he says that. probably not. I think he respects somebody who's a hearty fellow who can take his drinks, but I don't really do that. That's why it's called acting.
I think Magnus is a character that that the actor playing them would want to be as far away from as possible.
Yeah,
to be fair,
I don't think Magnus and I would get along.
Yeah.
On the opposite direction, I've toyed with the idea that Billy like just doesn't drink, because we never really have him drink in the show. I've played with the idea of him drinking milk one episode. That feels like a very Billy thing to do.
He does have milk vibes.
Yeah. I also have I definitely grew up drinking a lot of milk, and I'm lactose intolerant. It's not great for me.
Well, how is he supposed to grow up big and strong and become a great hero if he doesn't drink?
Yeah, that's why you're 6'7", Darcy.
Right. But I in real life, my go to at any bar is whatever they're well bourbon on the rocks, because the rocks makes it not as sharp and cheap tasting as well bourbon usually is, but it's still as cheap on the bar tab at the end of the day. So that's good.
You're also quite the drink connoisseur.
There's a reason I wrote a show about a bar.
For me, I'm just drinking lagers at this point. I'm not a huge drinker to begin with, but you know, I went through my IPA phase. I'll have mezcal is probably my go-to liquor, but just lagers. I just something easy. And, you know, I don't know. Maybe Gilroy would appreciate that, because it's just you can have a lot of them.
I think that lines up.
Yeah.
My go-to order is just a glass of red wine. And I think Shax would approve of that, because it's fast and easy to pour. It's just quick. It's here. Take it. Won't slow down the line, you know?
The West Coast IPA. And I've got it right here. I don't know, you know, in terms of the narrator, since I seem to be quite excited about being in a tavern, that seems to be quite suitable.
I think mine depends on the season. Depends on how it's feeling outside. I think right now, probably which is very typical, a nice cider, a nice fruity cider or a sour. And I think Nolan would appreciate that. I think she'd be down.
Wow, we really walked the gamut there.
Yeah.
There was no double. No one was oh yeah, me too. Everyone had their own unique answer. That was beautiful.
So we had some fans of the show submit questions, and this is one of them. Is there in-universe lore behind the name of the Dragon's Rest?
Yes, and you'll have to wait to season 2 to find out. That's literally all I can say.
A little bit of a cliffhanger.
I'm pretty sure some of the cast knows the answer to that, but I'm not sure if everyone does. They're nodding. I think a good portion of them do.
Got it.
I'm in the dark. I don't know. I'm excited.
Well, we will sit and wait patiently. So, Darcy, maybe you could tell us a little more about the origins of the series and what some of your big inspirations were and how this sort of came to be.
Yeah, I started recording audiobooks in college for fun because I was a normal college kid. and I had a lot of fun recording them, and it got me thinking of like, oh, what if you like did something like this on a bigger scale? And then I shelved that idea for years. And then we were in the middle of a pandemic, and I remember specifically what it was. It was two things. I had seen the first season of Matt Groening's Disenchantment, which has grown to be one of my favorite adult animated shows. But I remember when I saw the first season, whether it was a matter of my tastes or just the first season's style, it like wasn't fully clicking for me. And I kept thinking the whole time, man, I love a fantasy sitcom. What a cool idea. This isn't what I would most want of a fantasy sitcom, but I want to see a fantasy sitcom get made. And then the final like thing that made it happen, made me start writing. I saw a TikTok from a, she's a TikToker. I don't know what you would define her, like a cosplayer maybe. I think her name is Momo O'Brien. She ran this series for a bit called The Mead and Magic, where she pretended to be the bartender of a fantasy tavern, talking to you, the viewer, and then leaving gaps for like someone to like duet the video and like fill in with their fantasy character. Ooh. And it just like, I was like, oh, I love that. That's so fun. What if you combine all those thoughts? Like do the fantasy sitcom, but don't have it be the like, we have to save the world. We have to, you know, stop Sauron. We have to, you know, kill Voldemort. Get rid of all of that. Just be about those people in the tavern in the background while that's happening. And I think I remember specifically, it was like probably like 3 a.m. in June of 2020. You know, we were all stuck inside. I was unemployed. I wasn't doing anything. I just started writing. I wrote character descriptions first. I wrote Shax first. Then I wrote Billy. And then I wrote Gilroy. I started writing the first episode, and I needed like a really annoying bar patron of some kind to come and bother Shax to help reinforce her like her plot for that episode. And so I wrote Magnus, and I needed someone in the beginning for Gilroy to be teasing and for like to play music in the bar to establish why the bar had like some kind of sound in the background. And so I wrote Nolan, and Nolan was originally a guy. And then I flipped that sometime after writing the first episode because I realized that she was a main character. And I was like, I don't want to have five leads, four of which are men, and then just leave Shax on her own, especially because Shax often ends up being like mother figure. And I didn't want the one female character to be like corralling everyone. So I flipped Nolan and was like, what if I make the other craziest member the other female character, put them in opposite poles and see what happens? Yeah, that's the beginning. That's how it started.
Very cool. Well, speaking of...
Hold on. Sorry. When you say you recorded audiobooks, do you mean you would just read books? And
yeah, let's circle
them?
Back actually to that.
I'll take follow-ups.
What genre?
I'm still stuck on that.
I am a big fan of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. I'm pretty sure I have like a pretty early printing somewhere in this room. It's one of my favorite books, or I think it is my favorite book of all time. And so when I was in college, I don't know when this happened. I think it might have been over the summer while I was like staying at my school and like helping teach like a summer class for like high school or something like that. I think I was just bored and I wanted to mess around with like doing all the voices and stuff like that. And so I went into like the school's audio studio and just started recording for fun, which was great. I think I got like 12 chapters in, honestly. And then I was like editing them, and you know, I didn't send them anywhere. Like I just have them. They're still like, I think one of them's still up on like my voiceover profile on Backstage. But like, they were fun. I want to do more
That's
of
fun.
It.
It
was exciting.
I, when you say the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, I did notice some Douglas Adams influence in the, especially the negative simile bounded down the stairs the way snails don't. Like that's, I was like, that's a Hitchhiker's joke right there.
That's one of my favorite lines.
I was
going to
say that's one of my favorite jokes.
So funny. So funny.
Oh yeah. No, there's a lot of that. I think, talking about influences, Douglas Adams is a huge inspiration for me. Ben Elton, who wrote a lot of Blackadder, I can see my dad nodding because he introduced me to Blackadder. Blackadder is a huge reference point for me, for Gilroy especially. I wanted to write someone who would always talk a little bit longer than he needed to and was adamant on being the smartest person in the room at all costs. Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of influences. But Douglas Adams is definitely a big one.
Caroline, this next question is for you. Shax is, to me, the spirit of the Dragon's Rest, the spirit of that tavern, but also kind of the spirit of this show. She's got these qualities that are really aligned with what you expect from like a leader in a fantasy series. But then she's got this other kind of groundedness and this cutting sense of humor that really like places you right in like sitcom barkeep. So in playing this character, I wonder what aspect of Shax resonates with you most.
That's a great question. I really fell in love with this character as soon as Darcy showed her to me. We're quite dissimilar people, but there are a lot of things that resonate with me. And I think one thing that is sort of a through line through a lot of the episodes is it feels as though Shax thinks she has to go at it alone. In every situation, I feel like I've gone through periods in my life where I felt like I had to do that. I feel like a lot of us have gone through periods where we felt like we had to do that, whether by like circumstance or by choice. And I forget what episode it's in, but there's one line where Shax is like, I want it to be the fun one. Like, why can't I be the fun one? And that just like hit me in my heart because I think that like deep down, she wants the community and she wants friends and she wants people to be able to take care of the Dragon's Rest, the thing that she loves, her home, and she doesn't know how to ask for it and she doesn't know how to find it. And I think like a beautiful thing about this show is that it finds her and that Billy's like, I'm your family. And she's like, no. And then by the end, she's like, oh shit, you're my family. And like, and I feel like this whole show is her community trying to show up for her and teach her that she doesn't have to do it alone and that none of the people here have to do it alone. So that is something that I found like incredibly moving and relatable about Shax for sure.
Well, one of the members of that family is Gilroy, and one of my favorite episodes was the third episode where we get kind of a closer look at Gilroy's past. And I'll be talking about Magic Bones forever. I have the right episode, right? That's episode 3.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm wondering if you have a favorite scene, whether it was one that you enjoyed recording or one you enjoyed kind of listening back to. Are there any scenes or moments that really stick out to you from the world of Gilroy?
That's such a cool scene, right? I think Gilroy's backstory is just so like enthralling and interesting. I'm so excited to figure out what happens. That is definitely one of the scenes that sticks out to me for sure. It's really interesting because like I barely remember recording so much. And so like listening back to the episodes has been so fun because it's like so much kind of rediscovery of what the story is. That one's really fun. It sounds so good. The score by Tan is amazing. And I don't know, it's just very powerful. I also really love the scene, I think it's episode 6 on the roof with Nolan. Is that 6 or 5?
God, I'm blanking. It's six. You're right.
That one's just really sweet. And like, I like getting the kind of window into their relationship and kind of hearing Gilroy not be a smartass for like 5 seconds, you know? And then he becomes a smartass again at the end of the scene. But I think those two stick out to me. There's so many fun moments, but those two are thunder.
I have a friend who has been routinely texting me about Nolan and Gilroy specifically. She's like obsessed with them as character. It's very cute. She keeps she like texts me every day. She she's specifically she's a Nolan and Gora shipper, which I'm not going to say anything on, but it is very funny because she texted me after today. We're recording the day of the finale. She texted me after the finale and was like, "How dare you have them go on a date and then nothing happened?" And I was like, "That was friends hanging out. I don't know what to tell you."
They were developing a friendship.
Yeah.
Which also, Richard, it's been amazing hearing you. The narration is so great and like such a comforting voice to hear between.
Well, I mean, I'm not even sure it was me, because sometimes Darcy would send me a clip and I was like, I remember recording that, but that's Darcy doing it. I guess he decided that he was going to do that part. And it's crazy. I mean, just the fact that I cannot, and even just before we all got on, I don't even want to say this because I don't want to say what happened at the end, but I completely misheard basically who was saying certain lines. I thought it was kind of a mix of the two of us, and it was apparently just me. So it's been very, very strange. It's been a wonderful journey in that respect.
Well, I had the same experience when I was listening to it the first time. I went, Darcy, did you do the narrator and Barley's like, no, this is my dad.
But your voices are so similar.
It is crazy.
I almost made a terrible mistake when we were beginning recording, which is, and I'm glad that Dad, you walked me down from it, in that when we were first starting to record, I had originally pitched you on doing the same accent as me, the English accent. Because I was like, well, it's a fantasy story. The narrator should, you know, sound like the spirit of Brian Blessed. He's still alive. I don't know why I'm saying spirit. But like, it should have
Darcy,
that.
Do you know something we don't about him?
I don't know. Yeah. I think he's still alive. I actually have no idea. But like, it, you know, or Stephen Fry, like it needed to like have that timbre to it. But also the accent helps it a lot. And I was like, I was adamant on it. And then my dad was like, yeah, but I don't know, because you're also going to be doing that accent and that might clash. And I was like, it's fine. You know, we have totally different voices. And then it wasn't even listening to our voices side by side that convinced me. You sent me two different tracks, like one of you doing it with the North American just flat, you know, and then the other doing it with the British accent. And I remember getting it and going, oh yeah, it works both ways. So let's just do the American to be safe. And wow, I will say almost more than anything else, the thing I've heard the most from friends has been, you and your dad sound exactly alike.
So like, certain specific words,
yes.
I'm like, that sounds like it's Darcy saying it, but I know it isn't.
Yeah.
I was saying before the call, we even had to make some last minute credit changes for each episode. And and I did them because I could just mimic my dad's voice. And so once in a while, like I think.
Why am I here?
My partner listened to the episodes and she was able to clock it. She texted me and she was like, that was you saying that Andy was an additional voice and whatever. Blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah, did you? And she's like, I don't know, something different about the voice. And I was like, fascinating. So there is someone out there who can tell the difference.
Well, I mean, aside from your, you know, your great vocal performance, the narrator is like such an important part. I think also of the fantasy genre, the narrator represents so much, but also in a podcast setting, you have an important role. I mean, there's a lot that's done with the, you know, the voice cast, and the sound design is so incredible and layered, and a lot is communicated. But to have like really the immersive experience and understand what's going on and what your audience can visualize as they're listening, the narrator is such an important part of that. So I'm wondering, as you were narrating, do you think about like what makes a great narrator? What does the narrator really bring to the show?
Well, I think that I'm not going to divulge it here, but I think that one of the, the writer cued me in to something about my character. So that helps a great deal, right, in terms of sort of giving a narrator some motivation and some attachment to the story. So that helps a great deal. I think that And I know I'm sort of branching off here a little bit, but I know that Darcy's going to roll his eyes because I've mentioned this so many times. But I think the thing that to recognize is that you guys all, I believe, recorded all these voices and all these different lines separately, right, from each other during COVID. And the idea that, first of all, that you guys performed these different scenes kind of on your own, right? And then on top of that, having put it in post, putting it together in a way that is flawless. I mean, you know, in terms of just like feeling like you're all in the same room and it makes sense,
yeah,
is really kudos to all of you. It's amazing.
I think that really speaks to our director here, yeah, Mr. Darcy Thompson, because that was incredible. And sound mix, of course.
Yeah, amazing job.
But that was really what, like, I was kind of amazed with from the first episode was like, these sound like conversations.
Yeah.
It's not that I really doubted that it was going to sound good, but it blew my expectations out of the water because it really sounds so well put together. Like we are having these conversations and I can't even imagine the amount of work that went into that, but
oh my God.
Nailed it, sir.
So much. I'm sure.
Because I know early on, I don't know if I was the first to record or like among the first to record.
You were the first of the lead cast to record.
Darcy was playing every character. So like, he would just read for everybody. So I was like, I'm playing off of Darcy in every scene. And he would do it in character, which did help because when you're playing off of nothing, it's harder to get that sort of it enveloped in like the thought process and the mannerisms of the character. And Darcy, good job. It could have been a one-man show.
Well, Matt, to your credit, I truly credit you with making my Scottish brogue a little bit better, because I recorded with you first, and then for months after that, I remember recording with you, and then I think the next person I recorded with was you, Liv, and I think so Liv probably had like the earliest example of my Scottish, of me doing Magnus, right? And then somewhere along the line, like I was just listening to edits as we were working on them, I think the last person to record was Anthony. And Anthony, I remember by the time I got to you, I felt so cozy with the Scottish that it was like, I was also just doing Matt. Like I was doing an impression of Matt doing Magnus.
Your invoice for acting lessons.
We had a conversation about this.
$100 per
No, I don't know if you remember. I don't know if you remember, there was literally a point where I stopped and was cracking up between the take. And I was like, dude, your accent is so good. Yeah. You're like, dude, I got this guy Matt doing him. And he's like, I'm just pulling up on that.
Yeah. It was phenomenal.
And it is very phenomenal.
Yes, it is. It is.
Oh, yeah. You have some of, you all are phenomenal. But there are some, there are a couple of just, I think, the Magnus accent, the heavy, like how heavy you have to hit that to land this like Gimli-esque role. There are some deliveries in there that kill me every time. Because I've listened to the show a million times to edit it. Without fail, every time they've made me laugh. Like it's great.
I so agree. There was so much. You have some of my favorite jokes in the whole series. And honestly, the voice is a huge part of it. I think like everything kind of makes me laugh. But while we're on the subject of voices and doing all the voices, how did you land on that Scottish brogue for Magnus and Magnus's voice? Because listeners can probably hear that this is not what you sound like in real life. How did you find it?
No, I'm from New Jersey. Sorry to everyone out there. No, I'm from New Jersey.
Wow, way to shatter the illusion.
The Magnus stands wet.
The exotic land.
Well, when I was reading auditioning for parts, Darcy gave me Magnus as one of the sides to read. And I said, okay, he's a dwarf. It's Scottish is like the stereotypical dwarven accent. Do you want me to do a Scottish accent? And he says, yes, yes, please. Try it out. And so I was like, yeah, sure, great. We'll just get right into that right now. I guess he liked it because here I am. But yeah, it was basically just like Scottish is the accent people associate with dwarves. Lord of the Rings has a big reason for that. Might be the reason for that. But that's why I said, if you want that, I could try that. I don't know if we like tried anything else because I just went right into it.
I wanted people's entrance into this show to be like, this is the most, you know, stock fantasy tavern you've ever been to. I didn't want to jump right in challenging, you know, your perceptions of that world. It had to be, you know, sword and sorcery from the get-go. And so an important part of that was like, well, we got to have a dwarf and he's got to be Scottish. And I did. I had quite a few people. I did do auditions for this. And I had quite a few people read for the parts. Magnus is one of the parts I had people read for quite a bit. And I remember Matt, because Matt and I go way back. Matt, yeah. And I went to a middle school arts program together.
Yes.
Years and years ago.
In 2011.
Yeah, God. And Matt DM'd me when I posted a picture of the scripts saying that I'd finished writing the show. And Matt DM'd me and said, hey, I'm a voice actor now. If you want, I would love to audition. And I was like, yeah, absolutely. We hadn't spoken in ages.
Oh, no way.
Darcy didn't know I still followed him on Instagram.
I was like, oh my God, Matt, hello.
Find out.
I got so excited. I think I texted my mom or something like that. And I was like, hey, you remember Matt Maiola? It was really sweet.
I told my mom the same thing. Did you remember Darcy? I filmed movies at like his house in middle school.
But then you came in. I brought in a bunch of people who all gave great auditions, who did different versions of Magnus, but a lot of them landed too close to what Gilroy needed to be, and no one was willing to go for Broke on a Scottish brogue. And you came in with Scottish brogue, and also came in with like an immediate understanding of this like very bizarre kind of Ignatius Reilly-esque character who like really wants to prove that he's important to everyone. Like you immediately understood he's pathetic. And I was like,
he's his own hype.
And you got that instantly. And there was something. Oh yeah, I just remember the audition was really great. And I was like, okay, cool. Well, that's it.
That's so good to hear you admit that.
Wait, don't tell Gilroy I said that. They'll never let me live it down. It's helps playing Dungeons and Dragons for many, many years. Yeah. So, like, I've had to do dwarven characters before. So, literally, as a bit, I learned a Scottish accent for my friends. And because I'm an actor and I just can't let anything be half-assed when I'm playing a role, even in Dungeons and Dragons. So, I went all in. I was like, I listened to a lot of Shrek.
Real authentic shit.
Let's get back to the source.
But then, for Magnus specifically, because I know a lot of times he goes, if you're going to do something big, right? That's what he says. So Tim the Enchanter from Monty Python and the Holy Grail, that's really super duper extra Scottish. So I was like, okay, maybe we can get some of that too.
Oh yeah, so there was never going to be anyone else. That you were pulling up Tim the Enchanter? Yeah, yeah, of course.
It's Arthur. Like it's just go all in. Every R that you've ever known.
Darcy, was I the only one that auditioned for this without knowing I was auditioning for this?
Yeah, 100%. You want to, yeah.
What?
You
want to
know, this story is, this is great. You wanted to say how you remember this?
Sure. I'm in this great scene study. Darcy and I are both in it, but he had just started. And I think his first scene, he came in as a director. And there's a bunch of actors, so we do like scenes and it's like recorded and whatever. I think the first one we did was you came in
Chernobyl.
And we did, what was it? Chernobyl?
Amazing, yeah.
Intense.
Cool. Yeah, totally. Very similar vibe.
No, you're right, Lana.
Yeah.
And then the next week I got assigned Darcy as my director again. And it was like something he brought in by himself and was like, okay, cool. I read through it. It was like this funny fantasy thing. And it was, I understand now, was the first scene of season two.
Oh my God.
So it was like in script format. We brought it in. We like did some rehearsals. It was on its feet. And I was just playing this like drunken wizard dude that was fun. And we did a few takes of it. I don't know. And it was like a blast. And I don't remember how soon afterwards, but you're like, yo, so this is so-and-so. This is like a blah, blah, blah. You want to play a character?
Yeah, I kind of ambushed you.
What? I just auditioned? Okay, yeah, that was fun. Let's do it.
I just joined that workshop, what you say. I'd only been there a few weeks, and I was having a great time. So I kind of quietly brought the scene in. It was like, I can workshop the scene, because it's season two. Season one was locked at this point. I can workshop season two, and also I can see if this guy's who I want to cast. And then you came in, and you got it. Like, you're just constantly, because we did it, we filmed it as though it was like a live action scene. And Anthony was constantly, he's like arguing with Billy during the whole scene. And I wasn't playing Billy. It was another actor friend of ours. And Anthony, no matter what shot it was, found a way to land himself in the back of the frame, kind of in a drunken stupor, until someone said something to Gilroy, and then he would, huh? And I was like, oh, okay, great. Like, go. And then I remember that evening after the class, we all went out for drinks. I kind of like soft pitched it to you. I was like, here's this thing. If you're interested, we can talk about it. And then you were like, I am. I like D&D. And then it's always D&D. And then I think we got coffee like later that week up in Astoria, and we just talked about the character.
Oh, yeah, talked about
like what you wanted out of the role, and like what you saw for it, and what I was looking to get. And I was like, oh, this is the guy. And then I think we started recording like 2 weeks later. It was great.
Yeah, it was very quick.
You're actually the only person who recorded in this room for the most part. I mean, there's like some side oh, yeah. characters that recorded here, but everyone else in the main cast recorded most of their stuff in my old apartment, in my tiny little.
Oh, wow.
Except for Matt, who recorded down
there. I recorded from home.
Yeah.
All about Jersey this guy.
Yeah, Hunter apartment.
This guy in Jersey.
Loves Jersey.
Well, having driven into Brooklyn, I was like, Darcy, is it okay? I built a booth. Can I just do it from home? Like, I don't want to drive to Brooklyn. Sorry.
Worked out great.
I think one of my favorite jokes from the whole series is, and I'm going to be paraphrasing horribly, but Magnus introduces a song that he's written, but Nolan has written the music, Nolan has written the lyrics, and Nolan will be performing it.
Well, I'm the one singing it, so it's by me.
True.
But it's your song.
I also... That song was improvised.
I had the words. I had the lyrics.
No way.
Yeah, yes. I did give you lyrics. I gave you lyrics, but the like tone was improvised. And then we brought my friend David Karowski in to the studio with an actual... It's effectively a lute. I think there's a technical term for what his version was. I think it was something with a G, like a gear or something like that. It's like a beautiful, I think, Middle Eastern instrument, but it's akin to a medieval lute. And David just listened to Matt's take of the song and then was like, okay, and just riffed to underneath it to get the really? Like Nolan backing track. Yeah.
That's very so silly. Cool.
That is cool. You wouldn't know.
Yeah, I mean, I had nothing besides the words. Besides the words, I had nothing to do. It's just like, I was like, is there any way you want this to happen? Darcy's like, just figure it out. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, I was like the worst power ballad you can think of. Like, that's what I'm thinking. And
it certainly was that.
Well, we cannot talk about music without talking about sorry to everyone else, my favorite character, Nolan.
We can go. Just let it be the two of you. I think it's fine. Yeah, you don't understand. Yeah,
actually, this is the reunion portion of the Q&A where you can add some dun-dun-dun sounds in post. But I love her. She's so sweet. She's so dumb. She's so earnest. But she's like... You know, I'm also a huge fan of the relationship with Gilroy. I found that very sweet and very honest, and it just rang true. But I'm wondering, what do you like most about Nolan as a character, or what did you enjoy most about playing her?
Yeah, I love Nolan. I think she's great. She's got such a heart of gold, and I feel like that's also kind of the way that Darcy pitched her to me as well. It just like... You know, not book smart, probably not very street smart, but maybe in some ways, but just a heart of gold. And I really love that. I think she's so endearing, and so she's like a little golden retriever. Like, she just wants the best for everyone, you know, and she loves her friends so dearly. I don't know, at least right now, I feel like her main purpose is to Like, I think she likes making people laugh and putting a smile on their face. And she, I don't know, I feel like everything she does, she like kind of does it with a smile, even if she knows she's not going to be good at it. And I think I just admire her willingness to play and to be playful and like not really care so much about what other people might think of her. Yeah. And even in like, I'm thinking about the episode where Gilroy is teaching her how to read. And I admire her tenacity to, you know, and her perseverance in attempting, you know, these reading lessons. But then at the end of it, she's like, nah, I'm good. And she's just like, she's so true to herself. And she's like, I tried it. I'm going to go get drunk. Have a great one. You know, and like, I think that's so fun and so silly.
I did love that.
Yeah, I love her.
That made me laugh out loud.
Yeah.
Like, you know, not for me. Like,
yeah, it's like, great. I love that she knows herself so well. Like, I love that.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I do. I also really love the relationship between her and Gilroy. I think that the way I just, cause like hearing it back, like doing the lines and then hearing it back when it's been edited and everything's put together, I just can't help but laugh like throughout all of their scenes. And part of it, I think, is the way that Anthony delivers his lines of like Gilroy's so quick, but also very dry. And it just like, I think works very well off of Nolan. So that's been a real joy to listen to.
That's also one thing I really cannot believe that everybody recorded their parts separately, because it really does not feel, for a show that really relies on the camaraderie between its cast, or between its characters, I should say, it really works in that way. You wouldn't know that they weren't feeding off of each other's energy in that moment. So
I think quite a few of you guys didn't even meet until like in, I think many of you didn't even meet in person until like, I don't know.
Now.
In some cases now. Yeah.
Anthony, I didn't. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it was so crazy to see you and be like, is that what you're going to sound like? Okay, cool. I didn't. I was just imagining Darcy times 12. Right. So didn't know what to expect. But hi, nice to meet you.
You show up and it's just Darcy so at the release party.
It's me. I'm constantly running between different wigs back and forth.
Hi. Testament to like get together in a bar and make Darcy act out an episode start to end. Oh, call him. Mm-hmm. One man show.
I have fully bookmarked that note, and I really want to make sure that we can get Darcy to do an impression of every character before this recording.
Season 2 finale.
That's great.
Season 2 finale live event.
You listen, the listeners want it, Darcy.
Oh God, I'm nothing if not a shill listeners. For my fans. You know,
and you said you improved your Scottish accent. So
I did. Oh, I really talked it up, haven't I? It's not perfect.
We'll see.
So you mentioned before that there was a song that was entirely improv. Were there any other moments in the show that were improvised, or how much did improv play into the recording?
There's one line I remember saying that I don't remember in the script. It might have been improvised, or maybe Darcy said, I'm adding this in. Can you say this now? But it's like the line where it's like, boy wants to be a hero. He's got to be able to work while drunk. Like, I don't think that was in the script. I don't know if I came up with that.
There's a mix of it. If I recall, there was a good bit of the scripts were the scripts, which they're here somewhere. There's a massive like folder that they were all a binder they were all in. I would throw out like an alt, you know, or I'd be like, great, let's can I just that section. What if we drop that word? What if we put this in? Or it'd be like, hey, here's a whole new line. Let's try that. I would realize there was a funnier joke. Like, I think in episode 8, actually, an example is, I think there might even have been something that we did ADR for. We brought Caroline back in.
Oh, yeah.
There's originally, when you're trying to convince the tournament official to, like, not let Billy into the tournament, there's, like, a bunch of other things you said to, like, try to convince her. And I think what we landed on, where you're like, he fakes his accent. Is that a disability? I wrote that the last minute. I was like, hey, let's try this, you know.
Wait, I do remember one. Because you emailed me, Darcy, saying, like, the part where they send Magnus to go flirt with the nun that Gilroy and Nolan want to get out of the bar. Go over there. It's she's talking about, she wants something to hang on to. Like, she likes your beard. So Darcy emailed me like 4 weeks ago. I was like, Matt, we need you to record something for like what he's saying in the background, like flirting with this very holy woman. And I was like, okay. And I wrote something and I sent it to Darcy. I was like, is this fine? He's like, I need 30 seconds. And I wrote something that I think was longer than 30 seconds. But I recorded the whole thing anyway. So you can hear in the background, like Magnus is talking to somebody, talking to this, trying to pick up this holy woman before he gets hit, slapped in the face. I came up with that.
I actually remember one bit. It was the episode where... What was it? They found that thing and they don't know what
the mystery stick.
The guy left behind, the mystery stick. And Shaq, there's a scene where Shaq is like explaining to Billy what like a dildo is. Is that that episode or is that a different episode?
I love
that.
That's so
she's
funny.
She's like, oh, honey, like, and she's just trying to like a mom, really like respectfully and sort of educationally. And I think the instruction with Darcy was like, whisper some stuff. And so I think I just started whispering random things and like some of it was gibberish and then sometimes a few little phrases would come through. And I think if you listen really closely, I think you can hear really softly, just like, yes. Because I was like, that would be relevant. I was like, cucumber. Like, just like little words.
I had to actually ask Mike to carefully cut that section because you said clitoris, I think, four times.
It's important. It's important.
I was like, I think we're hitting that too hard. Let's leave just one in. But it's great. It's such a perfect little moment.
It was a funny one. Yeah, it was a funny one. But honestly, like, the writing was, thank you. The writing, though, was so airtight and so well written that, like, I feel like often the thing on the page is the thing that worked the best in the moment.
Well, I want to make sure that we have some time to answer some fan questions. But before we get to that, do any of you have favorite moments or jokes that you just want to shout out? I've said a couple of mine already, but I have to shout out Susan the Tomato.
is friend of the show, Carson Ernest. Phenomenal actor and producer.
You are a miracle.
I remember Carson came in and she pulled up Susan the Tomato, which in the script I think was just titled as a character, Rotten Tomatoes. And Carson was like, what do you want me to do with, where should I go with this? Like, what? And I kind of like I hadn't thought about it. And I was just like, I'm thinking like, give me like breathy Marilyn Monroe. And she was like, yeah, heard. Roger that, chief. And she immediately went in. It was just like, I'm Susan. I'm a tomato. And I was like, well, that's it. That's the character.
Utterly genius. It was
great.
But the dichotomy with Mole, too.
And that's Duncan.
I don't entirely remember who played
Duncan.
Mole.
Oh, yeah. Duncan.
That's my favorite of her parts.
Yeah. Seriously, the entire cast of all the characters were so awesome.
The old man in the first episode. The
like, everyone was like, so good.
We only made it eight steps. Like, whoever that is was hilarious.
Mm-hmm. That's my buddy Joe, who is... when he pulled that voice out in his audition, it blew me away. Because I was like... I was expecting I was going to have to find like an actual older actor. Joe is like, all right. Like Joe is like in his like late 20s. Like he came in and he auditioned and I was like, and he just whipped that voice out. I was like, oh, okay. Didn't know that was an option, but great. You sound fantastic. And he recorded that part.
Lana, back to your question. It's hard to think because there's so many good jokes, but I think one like very funny plot point that just gets me every time is when Shaq accompanies Billy to his mother's house and he's like, hey, why does your mom not have an accent? Like, that's a crazy thing. And then just to find out that he's faking his accent is like, I just think about what my reaction would be if like a good friend of mine just was like, oh, I don't sound like this. I've been faking my accent. And I just think it's so funny. And every time I listen to that part of the episode, I just like laugh so much because what a ridiculous fucking thing to do. And then to continue doing. And then Shaq just like goes back with him and is like this American. I guess not American. They're not in America, but that was a
Farwaterin.
I just, that was like a very, very funny choice to make. So stupid.
You want to know why Billy has
different accent? Well, he wants...
I know the character reason he does, but, like, there's a real-world reason that happened, which is that I knew I was going to do that voice, but I knew one of the guest stars I knew I wanted was Jen Thompson, critically acclaimed, wonderfully talented theater director, who is currently directing the national tour of Annie on Broadway. I wanted Jen to play my mom from the beginning. She's not my actual mother, despite the last name lining up, which I think is very funny. But I wanted Jen from the beginning, but I didn't want to force Jen, partly because I also didn't want to get this actress and director who I deeply admire and respect. I didn't want to, like, get her in a recording booth and then go, okay, do a British accent and, like, force that on her. Because I don't know if she's got one, you know? I don't know if that's something that she wants to do. And so I was like, I don't know. I like her natural voice so much better. What if there's a reason that they have different accents? And I knew that she was going to play my mom as far back as writing the fifth episode when we introduce her. Once I decided that, I wrote that joke where I was like, I'm going to have her accent be different. And I agree, that's been one of my favorite jokes for the show, is Billy turning out to just always be putting on a voice, you know, just what he does. Ridiculous.
One of my favorite jokes, it's a very short one. I think it's from episode 7 when Billy's trying to help Shax find love. It's revealed Diana's just trying to get with Shax, and everyone's like, "That's sleeping with my wife." The moment where the dwarven woman's like, "You know what we do now," and the snake woman is like, "We eat her." that just made me crack up. It's like, no, we don't do that.
You misread this moment.
That's hilarious. I love that one.
One moment that always gets me, and I've listened to episode 1 probably 4 or 5 times now, and I think it's just because, like, I can visualize, which is also a beautiful part of, like, this whole thing, is that the audience can really visualize everything, and the audio does, the mix just does such a great job of letting us do that. But it's when Billy puts his sword down and Shax is like, "You can't use that." And Darcy does this, like, "Oh, of course." But it's that, like, little, like, "Oh" sound. And I can just, like, see his exasperated, like, "Of course." But I don't know why. It's just like, it gets me so bad every time.
God. Mike would, our sound designer, would often, while we were editing, he would catch, I don't know, Billy-isms. Billy does, you're totally right, Anthony, Billy does do a lot of, like, noises, where suddenly he'll, I'll suddenly, like, you know, you know, just that nonsense, and Mike would often, like, clip out those moments and, like, beam them to, like, a specific folder on his desktop, and I'm terrified, because now he's just got, like, a soundboard of, my favorite is, episode 8, when Nolan hugs Billy really hard and goes, "Hug!" and, like, clunches down him. Billy goes, "E-O-O!" The most bizarre noise, but it's that specific. E-O-O.
I want that Russian, the Russian guy to come back.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
The Russian guy.
Basil Reynard Ayresworth.
Basil. Yeah.
I loved Basil. Yeah. That's great.
That's Alex Carroll. He got the audition also because of pitching an accent. Also, he's a phenomenal actor, but he came in, he went, "So is this guy kind of like, I don't know, peak Omar Sharif?" And I went, "Yeah, okay, let's follow that thread." And then that's where we landed. I was like, I couldn't be happier with that. Nolan, like, this bizarre character.
Crazy, the plot twist for the episode is that it was, like, done the whole time. It's like, what? Everyone's just fiddling with a loaded gun the entire episode.
Yeah.
That's my favorite sound effect of the entire show is the gunshot, because Dan, our Foley artist, he layered all of the previous noises the device had made on top of each other.
Oh, cool.
And then we added a musket shot sound effect on top of that. Ooh. And then Mike panned it so that it would go from one ear to the other, from where Gilroy was talking to where Basil was talking, so that your body had an immediate sense of, oh, Gilroy just fired it this way. And I remember when I got the mix back on, I was like, holy shit, that sounds so good.
Oh my God.
Incredible stuff.
Has everybody had a chance to shout out their favorite moments?
Well, I would say, so I'm going to go a different direction in terms of not necessarily a joke. So Thursday mornings as I drive to work has been my time when I listen. And as it comes out, I see it pop up. And so I'm like listening to it. And I have to say, and it's not that this, you know, and I don't want to give away anything, but the last episode, I was tearing up. The thing there is that it just tells you how much you guys' characters have landed, right? Mm-hmm. And the relationships have landed unbelievably, and that it's also the built, it's built, and particularly the relationship between Billy and Shax, and what's happening to Shax and what she's been hiding and everything. So I think that. I know that I'm biased, right? But at the same time, I just can't help but feel that, you know, if you connect that way in terms of empathy and emotion, something has gone very right.
I think that it's really lucky that Darcy and I are like very close friends. And I remember when we recorded that, I think it was when we were recording your part, Darcy, or it might have been mine.
No, we were recording yours, yeah.
Okay, we like got out of the booth and like hugged and I think that was the only scene in the whole season that we like acted out, but it was just such an important emotional peak that felt like they would be helpful for us, and we had the benefit of being able to work off each other in that moment. Thank God. I mean, that is such like a privilege. I'm so glad we were able to work off each other, or I was able to work off of you always. And I feel like that comes through this episode. I was also tearing up a little bit at work listening to it.
I remember recording that with you specifically. That was so much fun and very, very moving. And especially after doing so many jokes for so long, you know, doing so many like silly, you know, moments. It was really fun to have this like passionate, like, we're going to have one out. We're going to have, you know, as Billy would say, a row. And I got directed, so all the co-directors on the show are all friends of mine who basically directed me through recording Billy. And I remember it was Caroline and I's mutual friend, Sam Hannum, very talented actor, but also director in her own right. And she, I asked her to come over for that episode particularly. I really need a fellow director to like guide me through this. Someone who has experience working with a voice actor. Cause I need to shut that part. I need to shut the director part of my brain off entirely, or I can't like do this scene. She made me repeat in the fight scene with the Black Knight. She made me repeat, never surrender, never give up over and over again. Until she said
very
I was
Meisner.
Done. But it was very intense and it was great because I was doing it over and over again. And I, within like doing it maybe 10 times, I suddenly broke down crying. And I was like, I didn't know this was here. I didn't know that was what this scene could be. Oh shit. And, you know, I felt very suddenly like, you know, falling, but Sam was the parachute for that moment. She was great. She was very much grounded that performance. It was fun. Appreciate her immensely.
Before we wrap up, I want to make sure that we give the fans what they want. So I have a couple more rapid fire fan questions. First of all, why is Shax a stern boss with Billy at times, but frequently gives in and joins him as a friend or helper?
Is that quickfire?
You started to dig into the emotional core of the relationship. Now just go a little bit.
All right, you have 5 seconds.
Oh my God.
It's basically the whole show.
Describe this multifaceted character. And
wait, what was the question? Why is she a stern boss? I'm sorry, I'm overwhelmed. It's an important question. I got overwhelmed. I think that Shax and Billy have a sort of multidimensional relationship of like boss, employee, mother, son, and friend. And I think that there are times where she needs to discipline him, but it is usually it's either out of love or out of like, you do need to wash the dishes. Like, you do need to do your, like, this is an establishment, right? There are patrons and I need to make money. But then also it's important, like, I think she can't help but give into his spirit sometimes when the moment allows. I don't know. I just think that, like, that's what makes their relationship so special, is that they can go from being friends to colleagues to family in a scene.
Great. Beautiful, beautiful response, Caroline. And follow-up question. How much can Shax bench press?
So much. Shax is ripped. Shax is swole. I think Shax can bench press, like, I don't know, like 200 pounds? I don't know.
At least a troll. No, way more.
Yeah. I feel like Shax.
I mean, the way that she dispatched the troll was just.
Yeah, she's good.
Bye.
I feel like Nolan secretly.
So I have no frame of reference.
I also don't know how much
I don't know.
Sorry, Liv, what were you saying?
No, I feel like Nolan secretly wishes that Shax would just like bench press like Nolan. You know? Like,
yeah. Write that down.
Well, there's that scene in the episode where everyone wants to
date
Shax, where Nolan comes in and she's like, "You've thought about it."
She's like, "Come on." Like, that one always made me laugh.
Oh my gosh. And this one's for Darcy. Is there a fantasy archetype you wish you had been able to include in this season, or something we should be looking out for in season two?
The characters never go into a dungeon. I'd like to remedy that at some point. I also think they need to meet like a proper paladin. All the characters they really deal with are like, you know, a fighter and a rogue and like a lot of like the shiftier or like less morally absolute characters. I think it'd be interesting to have them meet like a true knight. I guess you'd argue the Black Knight. Yeah, a paladin, a fun like honorable paladin character.
Also great performance.
Oh, yeah. Matthew DeLorella, really another Matthew, member of the Blue Man Group.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so funny. Yeah.
He's great. He, wow. He was fantastic to record with.
Did he record in the makeup?
Yes. Please. Yeah. He's constantly in it. It's a tattoo. You know that, right?
Yeah, you never get to take it off.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people don't know
they
that.
They sign a blood pact when they begin, when they join.
Blue blood.
In blue blood. Blood. In blue
blood. Funny enough, I used to live with a different member of the Blue Man Group, and it's truer than you think it is. Well, we will be waiting with bated breath for season two. And I just want to say thank you all again for your work on this great, wonderful, funny, moving, brilliantly acted, brilliantly designed, directed, written. Really, really a wonderful podcast. In fact, to call it a podcast seems not to live up to everything that it has to offer. But while we're waiting for season two, there's never a bad time to go back to the beginning and stream all the episodes again.
Hey.
I think we will we'll wrap up, but I want to give the actors one last chance to say hello, remind you who they are, and share anything else that they have going on that you might be interested in.
Plugs. Anyone got things to plug?
Plugs.
Well,
you go first.
Yeah, you go
first. God, this. stay listen to our feed. We're going to keep posting some more stuff soon, hopefully. We're working on... And follow us on Instagram, Drunk Jester Media, that we're going to post other stuff about other film projects, podcast projects we're working on. We have a few other things in development that we would like to get off the feet soon. So that's where you'll hear about it.
I've been Caroline. I don't know.
No longer.
I was. Now I'm...
A member of the Blue Man Group. Who knew?
Shax.
I a few things in the works, nothing really out right now, but if you want to like see what I'm up to, I'm on Instagram at sour_Caroline. So I'll be posting stuff there. And yes, please stay tuned for season two. I am also incredibly excited.
This is Anthony Gilroy. Thank you to everybody for listening. And I'm so excited for season two as well. I don't know, nothing like super extraordinary in the works right now, but if you want to stay on Spotify, I also make music, so you can find me at, if you just search in the search bar to the top left of your window, it's AB-DO, and I make sad boy music.
It's great.
But, you know.
It's phenomenal.
Yeah. Jump between here and...
Beautiful.
There.
Truly.
So thank you.
I'm not going to miss it this time. I'm Olivia. Thank you for listening. I am also a puppeteer, and I have been working on a children's TV show since 2021. I play a very sweet purple puppet named Coral. It's typically for kids 4 to 8, but what doesn't really matter.
Surprisingly large member of our demo.
It's very fun.
You'd be shocked.
Yeah. it's very sweet. You can find it on Apple TV. It's the Smack Dab Show, or the Smack Dab in the Middle of the Day Show. You can find it on Instagram, YouTube, Apple TV, Sensical. Google us. Yay. And we do live programming. We'll be doing some more live programming in the summer. So around Brooklyn. Yeah.
All right. I think I'm next. Hello, I'm Matt. The most recent thing that I did on Steam, I voice directed and also did a lot of little tiny, I don't even know how to describe them, silly little voices, I guess I would say, for the video game Slime 64. You can find that on Steam. It's a retro 3D platformer in the vein of games you remember playing on the Nintendo 64 and the GameCube.
Sweet.
Check that out. That was a lot of fun. If you hear little guys going in the background, that's me. I would plug my socials, but I'm pretty sure every single social network I'm on, I have a different handle. So I'm just going to not bother.
Tough.
But thank you for listening. I had a lot of fun doing this, and I'm also excited for season two.
I'm Richard Thompson, the narrator. Can't wait for season two. In fact, if you are driving on the Garden State Parkway on a Thursday morning and you see a gray Fiat 500 pulled to the side of the road and a very tall man weeping because he cannot listen to the podcast, just be kind, pull over, and just tell him he has to listen to season one again until the season two comes out.
I'll be driving on the parkway to find you.
All right. Well, thank you all so much again for your great work. And it's been such a joy here talking with you about the show. And a fond farewell to everybody for now.
Yeah.
Thanks
thank
for
you for your moderation.
Thank you.
This season on The Way We Haunt Now, we've got ghosts. No, seriously, so many ghosts. Where are they all coming from? Where was I? Oh yes, we've also got siblings being siblings. Hungry dwellings. Romance. Artisanal TV commercials. Feral vibes. And squirrels? Who wrote this list? You know what? I don't even want to know.
The Way We Haunt Now. Season 3, coming April 2024.